Kids learn the darndest things, don't they? It's amazing. Welcome. I want to welcome Northmont as well. Glad to have all of you that are here as we start a brand new series, 4 weeks of this series. How many weeks? Help me out. 4 weeks of this series as we think about what kids are learning. And in fact, more importantly, we want to make sure that they are learning the right thing. How many of you drive a little ahead of the speed limit? Let me just see. Come on. This is church, all right? All right, so you can see, kids learn the darnest things, right? It's amazing. If you're older, then you are the boss. That's an amazing thing that we learned here today. And homework is good. I mean, how many of you would like to send your kids to that family's house, right? I mean, homework is good. It's amazing. We're going to go through this series, and we're going to be talking about parenting. We're going to be talking about dealing with kids. We have lots and lots of kids here at Fairhaven Church. If you're brand new here or at Northmont, we have many, many kids who are 9 years old. We have 19-year-olds. We have 39-year-olds. We have 59. Nine-year-olds. How many of you have ever had a parent? Let me just see your hand. Just that would be all of you, right? How many of you in the room at Northmont are parents today? Can I just see your hand? Just raise them up high, proudly, all over the place. Many, many parents that are here. We're so glad that you're here. This series is for you, but it's not only for you. Raise your hand if you're a grandparent. Let me see your hands. If you're grandparents, we have many grandparents here at Northmont as well. We have many single parents in our church family here and at Northmont. And I got to tell you, if you're a single parent, you are our hero. We love you, and we're so grateful. I've got a sister who's a single parent, and we hope that you feel encouraged and that you feel helped as you're part of this community of faith, and so we want to encourage you, parents, single parents, grandparents. This series is for you would-be parents. If you're hoping to be a parent sometime, maybe you're married or you're getting married, and you're thinking, you know, hopefully God will bless us with children, and if he does, what will that look like? What does it mean? Can I find anything in God's word that would help me? Because kids learn the darndest things in life, so that's really important. If you're a coach, if you're a teacher, some of us mentor kids. We don't have kids, but you mentor kids. You have an important role in certain kids' lives. I know families in our church family here who don't have any kids, but they're involved with other families, and in a sense, they're like an aunt and uncle or a mentor to them or a surrogate aunt in their lives, and this series is for you as well. In fact, this series is for anyone who's within reach of any children. And what we're going to be talking about is the fact that when we talk about children, we often think of a 9-year-old in a house. And the reality is, as I mentioned, children can be 9, they can be 19, they can be 39. Those of you that raised your hands that are empty nesters, would you agree with me that once a kid, they're always your kid? Is that right? Right? And so it doesn't end, and we'll talk about that because these things that we're going to be talking about over the next how many weeks? 4 weeks are going to be important for you as a parent or a grandparent, a coach, a mentor, a teacher, a big brother, a big sister. It doesn't matter. And some of you are already thinking, well, I don't have very many kids in my life. And I would say to you, unless you live literally in a cave, there's probably some kids around you at some level. And you need to help us, and we need you to look into our lives, because those of you that don't have kids have a view that we don't have for those of us that have kids, because sometimes we're so caught up with the busyness of all that happens in our lives with kids, and so we need you as well. So this series is for you. The reality is, I hope today to in some way put my arms or put this series' arms around all of us today and say, this is for all of us as a church family, because we care about being great parents and great grandparents and great coaches and teachers and helpers and mentors and big brothers and big sisters. So before we launch in, because today I'm going to take you to one verse, one passage, which is the verse that we want to stand on for these entire 4 weeks, a verse that many of you have probably read before or have heard before. We want to make sure that we understand it, actually, because I think that it's a misunderstood verse that we find people interpreting it. So we want to make sure that we understand it correctly, and then we want to stand on that, and then over the next 4 weeks, you're going to need to come to every one of them, because this is only part one. I've entitled this message, Part One. Pretty creative, right? We got how many weeks? 4 weeks, and so this is part one. You're going to need to come to all of them because I've got 10 things, 10 actions that every kid needs in their life. So whether you're a parent or a grandparent, a coach, a mentor, a teacher, an aunt, an uncle, a big sister, These are 10 actions that every kid needs, whether they're 9, 19, 39. But before I begin and we dive in, let me give you the small print. Let me give you the fine print. Can I give you a few disclaimers as we start the series, okay? And you don't have to jot these down if you want, but just pay attention to them because I want to start out with a few disclaimers that I think are really important to us as we start out this series. The first disclaimer is that I am not an expert parent. So as I talk about these things, I want you to know that I'm living them out for weeks and weeks and weeks as I have been planning for this series, months actually. And so I'm living this out as well. My wife and I, we had a little conversation about this message, particularly one aspect of it, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. And we're living this out. I am not an expert parent. I got to tell you, I was an expert parent before I had kids, right? I mean, I remember the day, literally, when we walked in. I still remember the store. I remember the city that we lived in, and we walked inside this big, huge supermarket, and we walked in, and right to the right was this parent and their little child. I don't know, three, maybe four. I don't know exactly how old. It was a girl, and so this little girl was like a fish on the floor, just flopping back and forth, right? And just crying and screaming. And I walked in, and we were expert parents at that point because we had no kids. And so we walked in and we saw this, and we thought what many of you probably thought when you didn't have kids. You thought, what is wrong with those parents, right? You walk in and thinking, they need to just parent those kids. They need to take care of that girl. They need to do something right now. And then you have kids. And then you walk into the supermarket and you see a kid crying, and you want to run over to that parent and say, is there anything I can do? I mean, you know, I'm really sorry. I know what you're going through. I remember when we went to a McDonald's on vacation one time, and this is when our boys were little tiny and they were stair-stepped, and we went into this McDonald's and they were excited about going into this McDonald's together, and because they wanted a Happy Meal, right? And so we went in to get this Happy Meal. The colossal mistake, though, and I don't know that they still do this. I know they still have Happy Meals. But the colossal mistake that McDonald's made, at least at that season of their marketing, was that, you know, in the Happy Meals, you get a toy as a part of your Happy Meal, right? And so as we walked in, they had a display of all the toys that were part of like that series or movie, I forget what it was all about. And so naturally, my oldest son, who was little at that time, walks in and he picks the toy that he wants, right? So we ordered four Happy Meals, and I don't remember what Kathy and I ordered, and we got, you know, the meal. We went back and sat at a table, and we sat down, and he opened the Happy Meal, and he began to burst out into tears, and he started making a big scene, flopping all over the floor, and the guy sitting at the table next to us looks at me and gave me the exact same look as I gave that parent, like, you know, years earlier, right? Like, would you take care of your kid here? And so I grab his Happy Meal, and I go back up to the counter, and I said, can I talk to the manager for just a second? Not a big problem, but just, can I just talk to him for a second? And the manager comes out and says, is there a problem here? And I go, well, I don't know how to describe this, but this Happy Meal, there's nothing happy about it. And I said, he's got this toy here, and he'd already picked it out. Is it possible for him to give that, you know, get that toy there? And the manager said, well, actually, we give certain toys out at certain weeks, and we just display them there to let parents know what toy is coming. And I said, well, as a parent, can I just tell you, that's a terrible idea because there's nothing happy about this Happy Meal, right? And so there was a day when I was an expert parent. I'm not now, but I can say this. I'm a veteran parent. Our oldest is 24 years old. And we've seen a lot, and we've gone through a lot, and we've figured out a lot, and we've missed a lot, and we're still learning a lot. And, you know, with all four of our sons, it's been a great, great journey. And so I hope the series, as we go through these 10 actions that I'll give you, I hope you realize that this is something that we're all learning together as parents and grandparents and would-be parents and coaches and mentors and brothers and aunts and uncles, because kids are really important. Here's a second disclaimer I would give to you. No parent is perfect. There's not one parent that's perfect. So if you think you're a perfect parent, you're not a perfect parent. And we're not here to discourage you. We're not here to try to, you know, we're not here to try to tell you something you're not. What we're here to tell you is it's okay. In some of the mistakes, there's no question that if you've been at this for any length of time, there are a few regrets. Because we're not perfect parents. And I could name you a few of ours. I mean, I didn't talk to my wife about this, but we could have. We could have sat down and said, you know, we should have done that differently or maybe handled that situation differently. Because we're not perfect parents. There are no perfect parents. We are not under any illusion here at Fairhaven Church that we're striving for perfection. I'll tell you what we are striving for in just a minute. But there are no perfect parents. And that's, I think, is an important disclaimer for us as we begin this series. Here's the third part of this disclaimer as we start the series, and that's this. I will not blame our culture for our kids. We're not going to do that. The reality is we live in a tough culture. I'll mention that next week. You won't want to miss it. But the reality is it's not the culture's fault. I mean, the culture is difficult, and it's different than it was 10 years ago, and we have our challenges as parents, and we have things that we have to deal with. I mean, you know, there was a day where you had to go to a library to use a computer, and then all of a sudden we had computers in our homes, and now kids have computers in their hands, right? So, I mean, we've got issues that the culture presents, but we're not here to bash the culture. What we're here to do is to say, as parents and grandparents and single parents and coaches and teachers and mentors, we're here to do our job as parents, and we're going to look in God's Word, and here's what I want to do. I want to raise the bar. I want to raise the awareness. I want us to do a better job if we can. I want us not to work harder, but to work smarter and to look at what God has to say to us, because kids learn the darndest things. And we want to make sure that these 10 actions that we have as we think through over these next 4 weeks, that we think through them because we want to help each other out. We want to encourage one another out. We want to make sure in our own homes that we can do the right things for our kids. So if you have a Bible with you and your Bible looks sort of like this, where there's covers on it and pages, some of you have these actually, believe it or not. What you want to do is turn it right to the very middle and then hang a right, because we're going to be in Proverbs. For those of you that have devices, it's really easy. Just find Proverbs, all right? Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at one verse, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Many of you, as you're turning there, you already know this verse. You've read this verse. You've had Sunday school teachers maybe that have told you this verse. You've had maybe parenting classes where you've heard this verse. I don't know. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, the wisest man ever to walk the planet. And in fact, if you have no place to go in your own personal Bible reading, one of the things I would say to you is that not only do we need to think about our parenting, but we need to think about our own lives and our relationships and everything else. And I tell you, if you've got no place to go in your personal devotional life, I want to encourage you to take one proverb a day. There's 31 of them. And so you could go through a month and just kind of one proverb and read through them in a month, and you'll learn an awful lot about parenting, but even way beyond that in your life. It's really, really a great place. And in chapter 22, there's one verse in there that will really be the foundation that we're going to stand on as we go through this series. And we're going to read it just about every single week because I want you to remember it, and I want you to remember what it means. I want you to remember what Solomon is saying to us, because this is really, really important, because kids learn the darndest thing. So here we are, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Let me read it for you, and then here's what I want you to do here at Northmont. I want every one of us to read it aloud. I know sometimes we have different translations. It's okay. Just read out whatever you have here at Northmont. Just read it aloud. Let me read it first for you, okay? Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, some translations, if you've memorized this verse, most often it's quoted from the King James Version. And so here's what a lot of people have known this verse to read out of the King James. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So I don't know what your translation is. It's okay. Why don't you read it aloud? Every one of us, I'll say go, and we'll read it aloud. So if you don't have a Bible, scoot next to somebody. If you're a kid here, scoot next to somebody. Read this, because one of the great things about this series is that we're not only going to be talking to your parents, but as we talk to your parents, catch this, you get to give a report card. All right? So as we're going through this, we as parents, we want to dialogue with you because we want to give you these 10 things that you need in your life. that we're going to discover. So let's read it aloud. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Let's read it aloud. Ready? Go. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Many times when this passage has been read, here's how many, many people have translated this verse to mean. It goes something like this. Raise your kid in the right way, and they will live right. If you raise your kids right, they will live right. That is many times the translation of this verse. Raise your kids right, and they'll live right. But in the 24 years that I have been raising my sons with my wife, and in the at least hundreds of families that I have sat with and talked with, here's what I've discovered. I've discovered that there are great kids that come out of really difficult families. I've also discovered difficult kids that come out of great families. Are you with me? So either our experience is wrong, or our interpretation of this verse is wrong. I think it's our interpretation. Because when you go back to the original language, Hebrew, the word way there, look at there in verse 6, start your children off on the way. The word way is not some prescribed direction. Solomon is not saying, if you get your kid going this direction, if you can just start him off going in this direction on some prescribed way where there's, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4, if you can just get him going this way, he'll never get off that track. That's not what Solomon is saying. The word way there in the Hebrew means bent. In other words, what Solomon is saying is this. Raise your kid in the way that they're bent, because as you help them discover how they're bent or shaped, if you will, then when they discover that and when they discover God in their lives, if they understand how they're wired, how they're bent, how they're shaped, and if they understand God, then there's a really, really good likelihood that they'll make good decisions and walk with God. Right? And so as we look at this verse, let me say it this way. This verse is not a promise. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. And so what we want to do over these next 4 weeks is we want to raise the possibility. We want to raise the fact that we want to make sure that we train and love and teach our kids in the way that they're bent. Let me say it this way. If you've got several kids in your home, how many of you would raise your hands and say, I've got one, or maybe more than one kid, two kids, three kids, and they're all vastly different? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high, right? It's amazing, isn't it? Because, you know, in our family, all of our kids are, you know, Kathy birthed all of our kids, and so we don't have any adopted kids, and we have many, many families in our church family that have adopted kids. And the reality is, as you're starting to raise these kids, you realize they're very, very different. Well, I've got news for you that have adopted kids. All four of our boys came from our DNA, and they're different than we are, and they're all different from each other. It's amazing. And so what Solomon is saying is, make sure that you understand how your kid is bent, how they're shaped, and make sure that they understand that, and then help them, walk with them, and as you do, and as they discover who they are, God can work in their lives. See, it's not a promise, it's a possibility. And that might be revolutionary for some of you as we think about this verse as the foundation for us over these next 4 weeks. We've got great possibilities as parents, great possibilities. And so that's what we want to do, is raise up the possibilities that we have as we go through this. Let me give you four opening thoughts before today I just begin to introduce. This is really an introduction week, part one. I'm going to give you the first action, because there are 10 actions that kids need from adults. 10 actions that kids need from us as parents, grandparents, as adults. But before I do, let me give you four opening thoughts that I think now will help to just set a maybe a ground of conversation to begin this dialogue together, to sort of just open up the conversation for us as we're thinking about the idea of what our kids learn in their lives. So four opening thoughts that I would have for you. And the first is this. I mentioned it already, and I want to add to this. Perfection is not possible. It's not possible. But we can be intentional. Would you agree with that? We need to be intentional. We can't be perfection. We can't have perfection as parents. We won't be perfection. We won't have perfection, rather, I should say, as parents, but we can be intentional. And so as we go through this series, what we want to do is be very, very, very intentional in everything that we do. That's exactly why we're doing this. We want to raise up the intentionality in our lives. Perfection is not possible, but we can be intentional in everything that we do. And so I'm going to be asking questions of you, of myself, so that you can maybe ask some questions about how you can be more intentional in this area, or more intentional in that area, or more intentional with this aspect, or more intentional in that action. Because perfection is not possible. We shouldn't even try necessarily because it won't happen, but we can be very, very intentional. In fact, when the Bible speaks of parenting, it's very, very intentional. Look at verse 26 of chapter 22. It says, start children off. That's an intentional thing. Start them off. Make sure you know where you're going. Here's the second opening thought that I would have as we're going through this. Write this number down. 936. You have 936 of the greatest weeks of influence in the life of a kid. From the day that your child is born to when they're 18 and they leave your house, there are 936 weeks. There are 936 weeks of the greatest influence, because the home, as I mentioned, and as I will mention next week, is the greatest place for influence. That's why we don't need to fear the culture. The home is the greatest place for influence. 936 weeks. How many of you that are empty nesters have had kids boomerang back into your house? Can I just see your hands? Right? In fact, the research states that the millennials are graduating from college and coming back home. So the reality is, if you want to add to that, you can probably add some more weeks, another 300 some weeks, according to the research. That's the good news. The point being is that it goes by like that. I remember when we had all of our four boys and they were so little, other parents would say to us, enjoy it. It happens so fast. Anybody ever hear that? Right? And when your kids are 2 and 3, and if you're here and you've got kids that are 2 and 3, trust me, I didn't believe it either. I mean, I just didn't believe it. I mean, because you're dealing with so much and there's so much activity and, you know, and everybody would say, it goes by so fast. And you're like, yeah, right. I wish it'd go by faster, you know? And then here I am, my oldest son's 24, and let me tell you, like that. I remember walking into the hospital, just Kathy and I, just the two of us. And hours later, we walk out, and there's the three of us. And I remember walking into our little apartment that we had, and I still remember closing the door, and I looked at Kathy, and she had this beautiful look on her face, this glow of like, look what God did, this amazing little child. And she looks at me like she's proud and excited. And I gave her a very, very different look. I know it because I felt it. And the look was, what do we do now? We went into the hospital, and Kathy, you know, for our number one, and Kathy was in labor for a long, long time. It was hours and hours and hours that she was in labor. I was exhausted. And I never forget, I can't remember how many hours, it was so long. I mean, the doctor comes in and says, we need to make a decision. And I thought, who's we? We need to make a decision? He said, yeah, we need to make a decision. I said, okay. And so he, you know, he pulls Kathy. Kathy's laying on the bed, and I'm standing there. We kick all the nurses out, all the parents out and everything. And I'm standing there, and this guy's about this big. I mean, this short little doctor like this big. And so he says, guys, we need to make a decision here. She's been struggling an awful lot. I mean, hours have gone by and the baby's not really in the right spot, and I think we probably need to have a C-section. Well, I had done enough study through, you know, the classes that we took to understand a little bit of what a C-section was, but what that meant to me was surgery, and I don't do hospitals very well. Anybody else not do? Help me out here, right? I don't do hospitals very well, and so I'm there, and he says, I think we need to do a C-section, and we need to do surgery, and I said, okay, fine. I mean, you're the doctor. You make the call, and he says, well, you're coming in, right? And I go, oh, no, I'll be in the waiting room. No kidding, no joke, true story. He's this big. He grabs me by the shirt like this, and he looks me right in the eye and he says, you got her into this mess, you're gonna go in there with her. I said, yes, sir. And I sat right by Kathy's head and we had a conversation and talking the whole time, and then number two came and she delivered number two and I fainted in the room. It was terrible. It goes by so fast. We want to be intentional. See, we're not going to be perfect at this, but we can be intentional. And we need to make sure that we raise that level of intentionality in our lives, because it does go by so very, very fast. Ask any parent. Here's the third opening thought that I want to give to you. There are what I think are four seasons of parenting. And so as a parent, you'll find yourself in one of these four seasons. The reality is some parents find themselves in two seasons of this. Let me try it out with you. I'll give you the four that I've just, these are the terms that I've come up with. Come up with whatever you want, but just to kind of help us to begin the dialogue of thinking through that seasons go by as we go through this parenting, and kids learn the darndest things, whether they're 9 or 19 or 39, right? And so here's season number one. I call it the custodian season. Whereas a parent, you're the custodian. I mean, you take care of everything. You got to clean up everything. You got to be the one to put all the stuff together, and you got to carry all the bags. And I remember the days, and some of us still are there, you know, where you have a stroller and then you have a bag and a bag, and she's got a bag and another bag. And it's like you're traveling everywhere you go, you know, with these kids. And you feel like the custodian. I mean, you're cleaning up all the time. You're picking up this and you're washing that. And, you know, and the pacifier drops. And you got to carry 16 of those. And you got to manage those. And, you know, and this is custodian time. And I don't know if any of you remember these days, we had it overseas, not because we had to, but because it was so expensive. We didn't have disposable diapers. Many of you know we lived overseas in Asia. We used cloth diapers. Anybody use cloth diapers? Right? So that kind of brings a new meaning to the whole idea of cleaning up, right? And so it's amazing. You go through these phases where you're in a custodian mode, where you're taking care of everything and you're cleaning everything and you're picking up everything. And then you move from that phase into what I call the commander phase. And the commander phase is when you're the commander in chief and you say, don't do that. You need to do that. Don't hit him, right? Remember, our boys came home one day and had a beautiful bouquet of flowers from my wife. And I'm thinking, where did they get this from? Conveniently, from our neighbors. So I had to be the commander in chief, right? And say, guys, you can't do that. I mean, that's her beautiful roses, right? And so you go through these phases where you're teaching and you're making the, you know, you're the commander in chief. You're in that commander phase where you're telling them yes and no, and so they understand. It's hot. Don't touch that, right? Don't open that. And, you know, and so it's the commander phase, and you go through these different phases as you're in life. And then you move to the coaching phase. That's the third phase, where you're coaching your kids, where you don't want to do it for them anymore. You want them to do it. And it's really hard because that means that there's going to be some failures and some mistakes, and, you know, there's going to be some tripping that goes along the way. And it's hard because it's easier, you know, to just do it for them. And we don't want to do that as parents. And as a coach, I remember that, trying to coach athletics. And I was a terrible coach because I just grabbed the soccer ball and said, let me show you how to do that. Well, that doesn't help them at all. They need to do it for themselves. And you coach them and you say, here's how you do that. Here's how you change a tire. Here's how you cook a meal. Here's how you keep your room clean. Here's, you know, you coach them in life. Here's how you treat your sister. There's a coaching season that we go through. And then here's season number four, and that's the consultant season. And I don't know which one of these is the hardest. I'll let you determine that in your own life as you talk this through. I mean, that's a hard season to be in because that's when your kids are adults. And so we have a resource for you if you'd like, a book called How to Really Love Your Adult Child. You may want to pick this up if you're an empty nester and you've got a 39-year-old kid, because once a kid, always a kid, right? Or a 22-year-old or 24-year-old kid and you're trying to love that adult child. How do you do that, especially in today's millennium values? How do you do that? It's a great book for you. We have a conference coming up on June the 6th. We'd love for you to go to, called Love Worth Fighting For by Kirk Cameron, the actor. Kirk Cameron right here at Fairhaven Church. You can get your tickets if you want at Common Ground because we want to invest in you, because the reality is we go through these seasons as parents where you're either the custodian or you're the commander or you're the coach or you're the consultant. And it's hard to be the consultant because I know many times you just want to pick up the phone. Help me out here, empty nesters. You just want to pick up the phone and say, don't do that, right? You want to go back to the commander phase. And yet the reality is you hold yourself back because the consultant phase is waiting for them to ask your advice, and that's so frustrating. What I find is that many grandparents or great-grandparents find themselves in the consulting phase and the custodian phase, right? Where they're consulting their kids, who now have kids, who watch their kids, and are the custodian, picking them up. Here's the beautiful part about being a grandparent, as I've watched people, you get to love them, you know, and spoil them for 4 hours and send them home, right? And we go through these seasons in our lives. And so there are four seasons. Make sure you know what season you're in, because it will differ in the way you approach these actions that we talk about. Here's number four, opening thought, as we begin this series. We have to have a game plan. You need a game plan as a parent or a grandparent, or a coach, or a mentor, or an aunt, or an uncle. You need a game plan. In the business world, we talk often about you got to have an end game, right? You got to know where you're going. And you work, you know, back to front, right? And so you got to have a game plan. You need to sit down as couples and say, here's what we hope our kids will understand in their lives. You need a game plan. Because the reality is, as we go through parenting, so often I think that we get so busy and we're so caught up with the bags and the, you know, the commanding and all these things that we have to do, which is part of parenting, that we don't really have an end game. We don't have a game plan. We just are kind of along for the ride and we're doing our best. And if you have one child, you're in zone defense. If you have two children, you're in zone defense. You have three children, or rather man-to-man, then you go to three children and you're in zone defense. And so it's really, you know, so you're just trying to deal with life. Kathy and I have a game plan. I'll give it to you, not because we're asking you to take our game plan. This is just our game plan. I'll give it to you just to kind of paint a picture for you, because I'd love for all of us as a church, for grandparents and parents to sit down and say, this is what we hope our kids turn out when they leave our, you know, our homes at 936 weeks plus 300. This is what it looks like. So let me give you our game plan, and you can write them down if you want, and then change them and add to whatever you want, but have a game plan. We need a game plan. Number one for us, we hope that when our boys leave our house, they will be men of integrity. Integrity is part of our game plan. We want our boys, and we're trying, we want our boys to do what they say they'll do and be who they say they're going to be. You could call it character if you want. I just call it integrity, but you can come up with your own title or whatever you want, but integrity is something that we really desire for our boys. We want them to be men of their word. We want them to be men of action based on who they say they are, so that the way they behave at home is no different than the way they behave at the office, which is no different than when they behave with a girl or a woman. We want that to be, you know, a sense of integrity. And so for us, our game plan is integrity. That's one of our things that we're trying to teach into our boys. Here's number two, honesty. We teach our boys on a regular basis about honesty. In fact, if we had the time, I could ask all four of my sons to come right up here and without any prompting, give them the microphone, and they would say the exact same thing. Because since they were little boys, this is what they've heard from us. If you tell us the truth, we can work it out. If you lie, you're on your own. Because if you lie, we don't know the truth, and you're going to have to deal with what's really happening, and we can't help you because we don't know the truth. And so from very early on, we've said to the boys, if you tell us the truth, we can work it out. As bad or good news as it might be, we want to work with you. We'll help you. We want to be a grace-driven, truth-led home, and we want to help you in that process. You got to be honest with us. You got to tell us the truth. And parents, the truth is sometimes the truth really hurts, right? But I'd rather have the truth than a lie, because a lie, they're on their own. And so honesty is a really, really important part of our game plan as we've tried to teach our boys over these last many, many years. Here's number three, conviction. We want them to have conviction. Maybe another way of saying that is we want them to have a strong belief system. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, you might say, well, I want them to have a good belief system in the values of this or the values of that. Some people might say, I want them to have a conviction about their feelings. I want them to have a conviction about their friends. I would agree with all of that. I would go a step further and say, I want my boys to have a conviction about what God says about them. And that's actually why we're doing this series, because I want them to have the conviction. In fact, I'll put it this way. Conviction is what holds up character. Without conviction, your character will fold up. You got to have good convictions in order to have character or integrity. And so, you know, conviction is something that we talk about. Here's number four, kindness. We want our boys to be kind. We want them to know and to love their fellow man, no matter who they are. One of the ways that I've tried to model that in our home, and I'm not sure we've gotten it completely, you know, done yet. We've got a lot of work to do, no doubt. But one of the ways that I've tried in our home is that as we're driving down the road, every time we see a car that's stopped on the side of the road, my whole family gasps because they know exactly what I'm going to do. I always pull over. And it's probably not the most smart thing to do or, it's probably dangerous. I don't know, but I do that every time. So I pull over because I want, you know, for them to understand that we need to be helping people out. Well, this last week, as we were driving home and I was in a little bit of a hurry, we drove by a car and I had already looked inside the car and there was nobody there. But we drove right by the car and one of my sons said to me on the way home, Dad, aren't you going to stop? It's a car on the side of the road. And I thought to myself, kids learn the darndest things, right? He's getting it. And we've got a long way to go, but that's one of our game plans that we have. Here's the fifth one, excellence. We want them to do their best. We want them to give it all they have. We want you to work harder than what you're asked to do. We want them to be excellent at what they do. That's our game plan. I don't know what your game plan is, but I think we need to have a game plan. Because Proverbs says, start children off on the way they're bent, and they're not going to depart from it. That's pretty important. So 10 actions that kids need from adults. Let me give you it, and then come back next week. And over these next weeks, I will go through all 10 of these actions that kids need. And all of these 10 actions are really important. They're not in any order except this number one here. I'll explain it next week. Don't miss it. Here's the first action that parents, that we need to understand that kids need. And that's this, that we value parenting. That's the number one action that kids need from us. That we value parenting. Let me say it this way. I have seen a shift taking place in families. And the shift I've seen is this. Families value kids more than they value parenting. And what's taking place is that families are valuing more what their kids desire and want than really making sure that they value parenting. Because parenting, if I think I got it right, parenting is sometimes doing things where our kids don't like them. Am I right? Value parenting. I'll explain that in much more detail next week. at Northmont and here. Make sure you come back over these next 3 weeks. We'll look at 10 actions that every kid needs, whether you're a parent, grandparent, surrogate parent, coach, teacher, mentor, it doesn't matter. Let's bow for prayer. God, we thank you that you give us instruction in your word. We thank you that through the wisest man that he wrote down, that we need to work really, really hard at being intentional with our kids, to make sure that we take the time to be intentional in understanding who they are, how you've wired them, how they're bent, and encourage them in that way so they can be really, really successful in life. The truth is, more than anything, we want our kids to know who Jesus Christ is as Lord and Savior of their lives. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.